Okay, all right. This is Miles McKee back again this week with good news about Jesus. That's not what the program's called. If you want to call it anything, I'd call it the Gospel Truth and the Gospel Truth Sunday broadcast. How about that? But I want to talk about Jesus today. I always try to talk about Jesus, but I want to ask the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus the Christ? And I'll say at the very beginning, and Zach, you're listening in, but I want to tell you about Jesus. He is the most remarkable man in history. Most remarkable. What year is this? This is 2020 AD. 2020 AD means Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. And before that, it was BC, before Christ. He's divided history. It's before Christ or the year of our Lord. Take your pick. I know we're changing that. I know we're doing all that kind of stuff, changing it to the common era or whatever else. But Christ split history. Who did that little carpenter guy? He running around there in Nazareth? He grew up to be the revelation. He revealed who he was, and he was God incarnate, and he split history. Split history. You know, he's remarkable. He never traveled more than 60 miles from his home, but more attention has been given to him than anyone else who's ever lived. He's the most loved person in history, and he's the most hated person in history. Oh my. He never wrote a song, but there have been thousands upon hundreds of thousands of songs written about him. He never wrote a book, but there's libraries filled with books about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He never raised an army, but armies have gone to war in his name, unfortunately, but armies have done it. Yeah. Never went to college, but universities have been named after him, and colleges, places of higher learning, named after him. Who is Jesus? Well, human speech is too limited to fully express him, and human intellect is too tiny to fully grasp him. Now I want to read a scripture to you, a few scriptures. It'll tell us a little bit about Jesus, who he is. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. This is talking about Jesus. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, I'll say that again, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet has he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Oh, wow. Present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. Gosh, that bears reading over and over and over again. Who is Jesus? Well, we just got a real earful, an eyeful of who Jesus is. I want to speak about him today. I want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you listen. Well, why do you want to speak every time we listen to you, you speak about Jesus? Why? Great question. It's because in all things, he is to have the preeminence. That's what it said in verse 15. Who is Jesus? Well, the first thing I want to say is that he is the one who declares the Father. Did you hear that? He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15, Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. Now look, God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. He's unapproachable. He's invisible. God. And if you're going to, how are you going to approach the invisible God? But Jesus Christ came along and he made God visible. Isn't that brilliant? That's totally brilliant. How are you going to know God? Well, it's not by reason. How are you going to know God? Well, it's not by feelings. Well, how are you going to know God? Well, it's not by religion. Go on. How are you going to know God? It's not by ritual. We can only know God through revelation. We can never know the Father except it's through the Son. The Lord Jesus is the revealer of the Father. Did you hear me? That's who he is. He's wonderful. Now, in Matthew 11, verse 27, I'll say that again. Matthew 11, if you're taking notes, Matthew 11, 27. I'll paraphrase it. Jesus said, no one knows the Father but me, and you can't know him unless I introduce you to him. What a bombastic claim is that? Well, it is bombastic if it's not true, but if it's true, it's right on. It's wonderful. He's telling us the truth. You can't know the Father but by me, he says. You can't know him. And in verse 15, we read that he is the image of the invisible God. Oh, my goodness. The invisible God. Yeah, he's the image, the icon in the Greek, which means the exact representation. And it pleased God in verse 18 that all the fullness, verse 18, that he would have the preeminence. In verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And in Colossians 2:9, you've got that 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow, if you want to know God, you've got to go through Jesus. He's the revelation of God. He has come to be the revelation of God, and will never know the Father except it's through the Son. All of God, listen to me. All of God was in that little baby of Bethlehem. Do you want to know God? Do you? Well, Jesus Christ has cornered the market in that one. He has the monopoly. And if you want to know God, you must come. We must come. If we want to know God, we must come through Jesus Christ. For whatever God is, Christ is. For Christ is God. He is the express image of the Father. You're never going to figure God out. The human intellect is too tiny to do that. But Jesus has given us the revelation of the Father. What's the Father like? Look at Jesus. There you'll get the revelation of the Father. Any other God that you worship other than God in Christ is a God of your imagination. Hello? Did you hear me? I said, any other God that you worship, any God that you worship other than the God in Christ is a God of your imagination. Well, you say, no, wait a minute, Miles McKee. Oh, wait a minute, Miles McKee. You're very, 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 very dogmatic. You're dogmatic. Well, who says it's wrong to be dogmatic? Look, I want my doctor to be dogmatic. Not like the fellow who went to the doctor and the doctor said, The patient said, "Well, what do I have?" "Well, the doctor says, after a thorough examination, I can tell you you've got cancer." The fellow says, "Well, I want a second opinion on that." "All right, then, you've got the flu." "Look, I want my doctor not to be like that. I want him to be dogmatic and tell me what's wrong with me. No ifs, ands, and buts." I get on the airplane. I want to go to New York and say to the pilot, "Is this plane going to New York?" He says, maybe, it might go to Los Angeles. I'm not sure where it'll go. You what? Well, it might go to Miami. No, I want the pilot to be dogmatic. If I want to get to New York, I want to be on a plane that's going to New York, not somewhere else. I don't mind dogmatism. And I don't mind it when Jesus said dogmatically, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Well, when the things that matter most, my eternal destiny, that matters most. You know, you get to my age, you start to think of eternity. Maybe you think of it a lot earlier. I want to be dogmatic. I want to know dogmatically how to get eternal life. I like it when Jesus is dogmatic. No one comes to the Father but by me. So who is Jesus? Well, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's the God-man. Did you know that he's got two sides to him? The God-man, he's fully God and fully man. Two sides to him. So let's talk about those two sides. He's got his father's side of the family and his mother's side of the family. So do you. We all have. Whether we knew our parents or not, we have a father's side and a mother's side. So can you turn loose your sanctified imagination and imagine Jesus going in as a 12-year-old boy into the temple, talking to the old, the leaders, the theologians of Israel. And one of the gray-haired teachers sitting there, he's stroking his grizzled beard and he says, "Son, what age are you?" And Jesus says, "Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm older than my mother. And I'm the same age as my father." How could he say that? He could have. Because he's the God, man. Two sides. The father's side, the mother's side. Who is Jesus? Well, on the mother's side, on his mother's side, he was thirsty. But on his father's side, he was the water of life. On his mother's side, he got hungry. On his father's side, he fed 5,000. On his mother's side, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He stood at that tomb. But on his father's side, he commanded, "Lazarus, come forth!" Wow. Who is Jesus? He is the unique, perfect likeness and manifestation of God in human form. Who is he? Well, according to verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, firstborn of the entire creation. Well, that seems to suggest, Brother McKee, but he had a beginning. There was a fellow in church history, an old fellow called Arius. He seized upon this, and he argued that Jesus wasn't God. You get his followers today in the Jehovah Witnesses and other such groups. And this is in the 4th century this guy lived. But he seized upon this verse, and, well, he would have done better to read on and believe verse 16. Because verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven than that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by him and for him. All things created by him. What? Look, if all things were created by him, then he's not one of the created things. He's the creator of the created things. All things were created by him. Do you see that? What it means, firstborn, is preeminent one, the one of highest honor. In Psalm 89, verse 27, it says, I will make him my firstborn. And then he gives us the meaning. I will make him higher than all the kings of the earth. He is the one of, listen, that's what firstborn means. It means the one of highest honor. He's the firstborn, not in time, but in preeminence, that in all things, he, Jesus, would have the preeminence. Hallelujah. That's enough to make me want to say amen. Oh, he's the firstborn, not in time, but in preeminence. Don't you let those people who come to your door hang you up on that one. Would you like to know what the Father's like? Would you? Well, come here to me. Come here. Are you listening? Do you want to know what the Father's like? Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Do you want to know the Father? Get to know Jesus. The way Jesus acts is the way the Father acts. The way Jesus thinks is the way the Father thinks. The way Jesus talks is the way the Father talks. Oh yeah, who is Jesus? Well, not only is he the revelation of the Father, but he is the power behind creation. Yeah, verse 16, let's read it again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is the power behind creation. The little baby boy of Matthew chapter 1 is the mighty God of Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, do you hear me? The baby boy of Matthew 1 is the mighty God of Genesis 1. All things were made by him. John 1:3 again. All things made by him. Well, our brother McKee, let me ask you a question. Don't you believe in the theory of evolution? No. Oh, well, about it, let me answer more completely. Which theory of evolution are you pointing me to? There are 14 theories of evolution that lay, at least there may be more, but there are at least 14 theories of evolution, and all of them disagree with each other. So which are you asking me to believe? Which do you believe? Which one of the 14, did you know that? And they contradict one another. Listen, evolution. I said evolution. Evolution is a theory subscribed to by people who do not know the Bible and do not understand the Bible. Listen to me. If evolution is true, we have no gospel. Yeah, there's no gospel. Look, if there's no creation, there's no Adam and Eve. If there's no Adam and Eve, there's no sinning, there's no fall. And there's no redemption by the last Adam. The last Adam came to undo the things that the first Adam had done. He introduced sin into the human race, and the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, came to fix the situation. So there's no gospel. If there's no evolution, there's no Adam and Eve, there's no last Adam, there's nothing. You do away with the gospel. If you believe in evolution, don't come to me and say, well, I love the Lord Jesus, but I believe it came from a monkey. No, don't away with such thinking. Yes, listen to me. Gets more serious than that. If there's no last Adam, there's no Savior. And I'm lost. And you're lost. If there's no last Adam. Wow. And if the Bible is wrong about creation, it's lying to me. And if it lied about my past, well, how do I know it's not lying about my future? Well, do you think all of this just happened? No, Jesus created it all. He created it for his pleasure. He's not lying about our past. He's not lying about the future. He's guaranteed us eternal life in him. Guaranteed. Evolution attacks the very core of what we believe. Who is Jesus? Well, verse 17. It says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Before all things, prior to all things. Well, prior to, in front of all things. Consist. What a word is that? Verse 17, what word is that? He's before all things, in front of all things, and by him all things consist. Well, here's what it means. It means to hold together. In him, by him, all things are held together. Do you know why? Do you know why the universe does not explode right now? It's because Jesus is holding it all together. By him all things consist. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Have you ever read that? Isaiah 40, verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by numbers. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Here's the scriptures telling us to look up on high. Look at the sky. Go out tonight and look up at the sky. Look at all the stars and the planets. And who, he asks, has created these things? He brings forth their host by number, and he calls them all by names. Oh, my goodness. Lift up your eyes and behold. Look at that. Do you think they all came out of some accident, some explosion? No, and the creation is very special to him, for it says he calls them all the stars, he calls them by name. He's named them. Did you know you can go online and search for, I don't know where this site is, I looked at it some time ago, but you can buy a star and name it after yourself. Well, all I've got to say about that is too late. It's already been named. Jesus has named it. And he's named all the trillions of stars. All the things are being held together by him. He is amazing, isn't he? Do you love him? Let me ask you a big question. Do you love him? Do you love him? Can you worship him? Have you seen the beauty in him? If you've seen no beauty in Jesus, if you've never seen any beauty in Jesus, you're not saved. Oh, he's lovely. He's amazing. How big is the universe, by the way? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows how big it is. We can't tell. But let me give you an idea. Let's say you could catch a hold of a sunbeam or a light beam. Not call it a sunbeam. A light beam. If you could get on board that light beam would go round the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Yeah. The sun, 93 million miles away, something like 90 something million miles away. It would take you 8.5 minutes to get there. The sun's our nearest star. Yeah. And there's trillions and trillions of stars out there, but it would take, for example, you want to get somewhere, it'd take you 4.5 years going at the speed of light, or to cross the Milky Way, it would take you 100,000 light years. I mean, it's immense. It boggles the mind. And who created it? Who created it all? Well, his name is Jesus, and he's holding all together. He is the power behind the creation. He's the preserver of the creation, and he's the purpose of the creation. Why do I say purpose? Because that speaks of direction, and he's created all things for himself. Yeah, all things will be summed up in Christ Jesus. History has a date with deity. Yeah. So let's bring this to an end. Verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Do you think that the one who can create a universe which can't be measured can't keep his word and present you unblameable and unreprovable in his sight? He's a wonderful Savior. And he's the reconciler. He's the creator of all things. History's moving towards him. He delivers the fallen. He's the reconciler. Christians are not just nice people. Oh, look, I wish everybody was a nice person. But what we primarily are is blood bought by our creator and preserver. That's what we are. And we're children of God. Think of it. God, the mighty God, became man and died for his people. Wow, we need to get the cross in context. It was our God as man who bled and hung naked on the cross, bearing shame and scoffing, rude, condemned. And in my place he stood. He signed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, yeah. The one who made the trees died on a tree. The one who made the rivers and the lakes said, I thirst. Wow. His death and his deity are inseparable. It's his deity that gives his death power. And when he created the galaxies, he used his word. It was as if he spoke and galaxies flew out of his mouth and fingertips. Yeah, that's what it was like. And when he hung upon the cross and saved us, it took every drop of his blood. There was a woman lying dying in the hospital, and I'll finish with this, and no one knew who she was. And they sent for a local preacher, and he whispers in her ear, have you made your peace with God? She returned his inquiry with silence. And the second time he said, Dear lady, you're dying. Don't you think that you should make your peace with God? Well, she shook her head in the negative. The third time, look, lady, says the preacher, you're dying and I need you to make your peace with God. The woman looked at him and said, no, your reverence, I don't need to make my peace with God. I am already resting in the peace that Jesus won for me at the cross. Jesus won peace. What kind of a man is he? He created all things. He came here and he rescued us. And won peace. He reconciled us to himself. So let's enjoy that peace. Let's enjoy being saved. Let's enjoy knowing that our sins are wiped out. Let's enjoy being known that our Creator is our Savior. And He's not against us. And He's not petty and beating us over the head with niggly little things. He's made peace with the blood of His cross. And that is the gospel truth.